The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
The Baseline is back with all new episodes every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Disruption Network. The complete rundown of news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get caught up with fantasy rankings, predictions, league leaders, standings, and more. Join JP and SPG as they bring you original segments like 3 Up, 3 Down, the Haps on the Haps, Tip of the Cap, and the Field Report.
Don't find yourself out of the Baseline.
Join the Baseline every Sunday night, all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and broken everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving. Relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network. This is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome or visit us online at nyevwofrome.com.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at DisruptionNetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D, DisruptionNetwork.net.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
EC Radio, Disruption Networks. EC Radio, Disruption Networks.
Yeah, baby. What's happening, everybody? We live and direct on the D, baby. It's Monday. Oh, yeah. I'm in a whole new setup today, so I'm a little confused of what's going on, as we like to change things around here all the time here around the D, because change is a constant thing here at Disruption Network. So bear with me as I try to get through some things, and here we are. Welcome. Hi. EC Radio, live and direct. Before we get into anything, we got to give love to the sponsors, Utica Coffee, wakethehellup.com. You can hit them up online and try all their delicious flavors that they have for coffee. I was there earlier today sampling some delicious product. Today I'm going Jamaican, baby. Jamaican me crazy. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, man, as they say in Jamaica. Team second to none, man. Blah, blah, batty boy. Anyways, also love and respect out to Nye Volkswagen in Rome. Mention the D, $250 off any vehicle purchase. Check out their inventory, nyevdubofrome.com. EJA Moving, my man Eddie, when it comes time to move and relocate, hit up Eddie, ejamoving.com. All right, in the house with me today, the boys from Yellow House Media. How's it going, fellas?
What's going on, man? good to see you guys. Hang on, let me get some mics. There's one there, one there. Is your mic working?
And
your mic?
To my knowledge.
All right, good. Excellent. We got a little new change going on here today, new setup. As we're trying to get the other studio up and rolling really soon over there, if you see it in the background there. But, yeah, we're trying to get that up and rolling, so we had to make some adjustments over here, and I'm a little discombobulated. So bear with me as we move along through our Monday. That's what's happening. So how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's going on? Yellow House Media, man, you guys are doing a lot of big things, man. We were just talking about the Vile Tyrant video that you produced last year or 2 years ago?
Was it last year?
It was a year and a half.
Year and a half ago?
Right when I was coming in, we were finishing it up. So.
With the bloody orgy. How fun was that to make? I mean, just that scene alone.
It was freezing cold. Very cold. My girlfriend at the time was in it, and she was like, if I didn't love you, I swear to God, I would murder you right now.
Yeah. And did she?
Yes.
Only figuratively.
A little bit.
A little bit. There's still parts of my heart I'm trying to find.
Are you guys doing more band videos? Are you still producing movies? What are you guys doing nowadays?
Well, right now we're working.
So many answers to that question.
I know. Right now we're working on a music video for Loyalty, our local rapper. That's going good. That was a crazy shoot. It was like 4 days straight up in Syracuse at.
We got to shoot at a
Masonic
Lodge.
Masonic Lodge. Yeah.
They don't actually, it turns out, sacrifice infants there. Or at least they didn't while we were
there. They didn't.
Wait.
They didn't deny it, but they didn't. They didn't do it in front of us.
Back up. Where's the Masonic Lodge?
So the Masonic Lodge was in what's
Syracuse.
It was in like a little offshoot of Syracuse, though. Sully?
Yeah, but,
Was it like condemned or something? Or?
No,
it was
an
actual really nice.
Functional Masonic Lodge. Like, if we had gone upstairs, we would have been in like the big room with the secret things that we're not allowed to see, but we might have seen.
Is it super creepy?
Yes.
Only when the lights are off.
He says no, you see.
He didn't look around as much as I did.
Okay.
You like walk into rooms and like on the side of it, you see like the pentagram, like in a cross, like in like a plate that's like.
Seriously?
Yeah, and you're like, all right. It's exactly what you think it is. I'll tell you that.
Really?
It's literally, like, if you think of, like, what I think would be in there, it's that.
It's more exciting than, like, a normal lodge, but it's not as exciting as, like, Skull and Bones Lodge.
The fun was every time we ended filming, someone would come in to, like, close up for us, and he would tell us, "Do you see any ghosts?" And we'd be like, "Nah." And they'd be like, "Oh, there's ghosts." I'd be like, "Oh, all right, cool." He's like, "Nah, there's, like, a lot of ghosts." They're like, "Cool, we didn't see any." He's like, "I bet you did, though." They're like, "All right."
A lot of paranormal activity.
Well, apparently, they have a story for like 30 ghosts in there. It's not that big of a building, so I don't know where they're all laying.
Did you spend a lot of time in there?
Yeah.
We were in there for 4 days straight.
Wow.
Yeah.
We went from there, and we would drive half an hour north to our hotel and then back.
Drive back.
Yep.
You think one of these ghosts attached themselves to you and weird shit has been happening ever since you left
there? Oh, weird shit has been happening way before that.
Everything in my life has gotten better since we did that shoot, so it's a good luck ghost if it is one.
Clearly they're not all malicious. So
yeah, true. Good point.
Some of them have Lucky Charms.
Yeah?
I got a Lucky Charms ghost.
Nice. You needed that, right?
I did.
We did. Apparently.
Okay, so you're doing this video for Loyalty. Mm-hmm. What else you guys got going on?
We're in talks to do the music video for Tale of a Monster. Which
never heard of those guys.
I have a thing coming up. So you might have heard of like a couple little bands like After Earth.
You know the band.
It took me a second to be like, do I say After Birth? Do I say After Squirt? Do I say After Earth?
You said the name of the band.
You said all of them, so I think
it's one of those three. But we're in talks with them to do their new music video. I was just contacted by Pygmy. We have a consultation with them Wednesday to do their music video.
Oh, we also have, are we still doing the country?
Oh, yeah. Loyalty's next music video is Central New York's first rap country song.
Oh, no, so, we have that country band, too.
We may be working with a little band called Tompkins Drive on their music video as well.
Cool.
And there is an EDM guy out in, I'm going to sound terrible if I can't remember his name.
It's like relaxing.
Yeah, it's actually
like,
it's
we
actually
turned
really
it on
good.
And
ambiance type stuff.
We had it on for like 2 hours, and I was like, "Oh God, this is," and like in a good way. I was like, "Oh, this is still on," just because like it's like there in the background really well.
It would make great club music.
It would.
Yeah, Benjamin Mack is his name. He's I guess him and a bunch of his buddies run like a T-Mobile franchise down there in Buffalo, and their side project is they make cool ass EDM. So we're going to be doing an animated music video for them with like some cool 16-bit retro graphics.
Wow, very cool.
Also, I'm making a bunch of rocket ships for a space fight
Oh, yeah. Just because.
Micah Kahn.
No, for a real thing this time, not like my robots.
Okay. Right.
Shout outs to Mr. Micah Kahn. I don't know if you're familiar with Micah Kahn. He's a big name in the indie film scene. He's out of Albany. He's done tons and tons of short films. He's worked with a bunch of big name directors. He has a show on PBS for a little while. So, and he's only like 24, 25. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so jealous of where you're at already. But he contacted us to do some VFX shots for his next short film, which is like a space western with a black hole. And that's going to be pretty fun Star Wars-y. And in return, he's going to help us with our next big project.
That you're not going to talk about?
That we're not going to talk about, yeah, because we're still working out all right. the details.
Don't. Let's back up to Tale of the Monster, though. They had a great release the first night out. They played a couple weeks ago at 12 North. Great show.
I don't think I've seen 12 North that packed ever.
Great turnout. Right, seriously. And then people have been trying for years, too.
I was one of them. But no, they did it right. They promoted the hell out of that show.
They did. They did. It was a great turnout. You were out there taking pictures. Great pictures, by the way. Some of the stuff that I saw was great up there.
I'm in like this weird color pop phase where everything I do is like, let's do it like Sin City would do it. So all of the pictures like that are overly stylized and overly edited.
They're overly popped.
Oh, yeah. They're very
pop. That expression drives me crazy. It's just got to pop. Everything needs to pop. It's like, stop. Get that out of your vocabulary.
Stop popping.
Please. Stop popping, right.
Stop your popping.
Everything's popping.
Can't stop the pop.
No, but you did. That was a great showing for Tale of the Monster. There's some great local music going on, man. Right now, I feel like the local music scene's starting to pick up a little bit. I was just this weekend over working for Brand New Sin over at the Lost Horizon, and it was sold out, packed to the gills, completely sold out, 600-700 people there, wall to wall. And then Tale of the Monster having a great debut. It's starting to come back a little bit, you know, and we all need to come together a little bit more so we can boost it up and support each other a little bit more. But I feel like the local music scene's picking up.
I shed a couple tears because I used to do, I don't know if you remember,
I remember.
SCWS Promotions.
I remember.
And so we were trying. I spent so much money wasted trying to get people to come to shows and try to get bigger audiences. And that's when Piccolo was existing as a venue. And so filling that place was always like a dream of mine. It was almost achieved once or twice. But then I dropped out of the scene. I stopped at SCWS because I was going on making 27 matches and starting Yellow House. And then I started going to a couple local shows. And like, we did a couple things over at 12 North. And there were like five people showed up. I'm like, oh, God, what happened? what happened to my scene?
Where did it go?
My precious.
It can be difficult. I think there's a lot going on. It's just, you know, people either aren't aware of it. Or they think if they go out, there's going to be no one there, and it's going to be lame, or it's going to be whatever. But
or they're scared to drink and drive.
Yeah, you know, whatever it is, it's difficult now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, is getting word out to people who aren't in the scene or don't know where to look. Because there's a bunch of stuff going on. I never have a clue what's going on. They always tell me, and I'm like, oh, I have no idea who that is. They'll be like, oh, this big band's coming. They'll be like, Flop-a-lop. I'll be like, I don't know who that is. And they'll be like, how do you not know?
Those guys are great.
Yeah. I have no clue because
I love Flop Lop.
Right,
what a great band, man.
Some band somewhere named that. Like they know us. yeah, no, I think it's hard to get it out to people though, like me, because like I'm not huge on social media stuff a lot, and like how do you even reach, you know, your average person who's not doing that?
Well, one of the things I always said when I was doing promotions is that things would go a lot easier if the places and venues where people actually go would be more supportive of local original bands.
Right.
So if Varick Street would take a Tell the Monster or a Sinners Inc. or any of the other new bands that have come up that I don't even know the names of these new bands anymore, but I know all the members in them from the past bands. If they would let those guys perform on like Saranac Thursdays or something.
They won't, though.
I know they won't.
It doesn't fit the format, though. It's not that Saranac Thursday is not tailored to an independent rock band. It's not. It's not going to. That the people that are going to a Saranac Thursday aren't interested in seeking new music. They're not. They're interested in singing along to Bruno Mars and you know, Don't Stop Believing. That's what they're doing. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what makes them money.
I mean,
and then you have to roll with that. You just need maybe on another night one of those bars to come down.
If they had a weekend for like you know, Saranac presents Original Music Saturdays or something like that. That'd be awesome.
They hate original music in general, though.
I know.
Well, let's see. That's not true because that's not true because we run 10 concerts at Saranac every year, and it's not a Saranac Thursday concert. It's 10 national bands that come through every year, and it's different from. It's not like I said. It's not a Thursday night. It's a creative concert event. So there is that original format that is sitting there, and afterwards, there's bands that play throughout Varick Street. Afterwards, all the after parties. It's just it's a risk for a lot of these bands to, or a lot of these bars, I should say, and a promoter and a venue to book a band that nobody heard of or nobody heard of their music or something like that. I mean, I see all sides of the coin. No one's going to draw, right? Who's going to come down?
The thing is, it takes time.
It does.
Because if you're not already doing this, you kind of got to establish something. You have to. People need to know that it's happening. It's right. not gonna be a thing the first time you do it or the second time. It's gonna take a few months.
It does.
You gotta stick with it.
Yeah. And then when I had the electric company, I should tell the bands it's gonna take you three times. If you're not drawing by the third time, I'm not booking you anymore. You know, but I would give them that chance. You got three chances, three strikes, you're out. And if you're not drawing by the third time, you gotta go. You know. Michelle McSweeney is saying who doesn't like new, and that's lame if they don't like new. But the thing is with the whole new thing is people in Utica are sheep. I hate to tell you, I love this town and all, but people are sheep. They're gonna go where they're comfortable. They're not gonna go out seeking new music. They're like, I never heard of those guys before, so I'll never go see them. You know, that's the thinking in this town. It's unfortunate, but it's true. How do we get those people to stop thinking like that? I don't know. That's up for you guys to decide.
I'd also say too, though, on nights like Saranac Thursday, I don't think that's maybe like the mood. Isn't like, oh, let's go hear some like new original music. It's usually let's get as fucking wasted as we can.
Exactly.
And I don't want to be wasted and be like, oh, the nuances in this music is really good. Like, I want to be fucking stupid.
You don't think Val Tyrant would go over well?
No, I mean, I love Val Tyrant, so yeah, because I know you guys, I'd be like, I know them.
I would have Val Tyrant go on at like 1 a.m. on a Thursday to get
it's
everybody
time,
out
time
of there.
It's time for everyone to leave. Okay, yeah.
I want to stay here all night. Okay, let's leave.
We'll scare you out for sure. No, but there is like Vile Tyrant, and there's all these great bands that are out there doing it on an independent level. They just need a venue, and there's the only venue that is displaying these bands is 12 North.
Yep,
there is, and we, you know, it's a risk. It is. It's
Shout
a risk
to them
to do
for
that.
Taking the chance on it.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it does pay off.
It does. It does, and we've seen that when Tale of the Monster was there. You know?
I mean,
the thing is too that there's just famously nothing to do around here, really. Like there
says
is.
Who?
No. There is.
There's
like,
a
in
lot
the same
to
way
do.
That if you're in New York City, there's a lot to do, but like you tend to not do that stuff.
So I hate
like,
when people say there's nothing
know,
to do
and,
in this
and,
town because
it's
the furthest from the truth.
Well, then maybe there's a bad publicity on what to do.
No, there's terrible PR
because
Utica never actually advertises for Utica.
No, because I never know what's going on.
Well, what do you like to do? I could give you an itinerary. You tell me what you like to do, and I'll give you your itinerary.
Tell me, I don't know. What would be fun to do? I like to drink and
and no things.
There's
well,
a million
no
freaking bars in this
yeah.
town.
Well, yeah, that's the only thing I do around here.
There's a bar on every other corner, so if you like to drink, you're set.
That's all I do, though. That and I play darts.
Boom.
That's all I do, though.
He is obnoxiously good at darts.
Is he?
Yeah.
What do you shoot?
It pisses me off.
What's your average? Like you're playing cricket.
Oh, cricket? I have no idea. I have to be drunk. To do well.
You're better when you drink.
Yeah, but I have to be at a certain point. James here knows this point. There's a point where if I'm stumbling a bit, he'll be like, oh, it's on. This kid's going to wreck it. But if I have like a few too many after that, you'll see I just start hitting the wall. So it can go bad. But I've won a few competitions. I won one at Harley-Davidson not too long ago.
Nice.
I just have to be the right level of drunk, and usually if I take off my shoes.
Do you play in the Thursday Night League?
I don't play in a league, really. I was just invited, and I went... I started because me and a friend used to start playing at a bar in Rome, and then we got so good that older guys were like challenging us, and we stopped having to pay for drinks because we would just play them for beers, and then that was like incentive to stay good because we could drink for free.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
I do it. I'd be there all over it.
We do have one other project coming up that is kind of topical from what we were talking about before. So a couple weeks ago, that lovely show that we all cry and are starting to really get angry at, Game of Thrones, they released a single called Jenny's Song.
Yeah, that was from last week's episode, right?
Or two weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like this song that they gave us because they're like, guess what? Next week we're killing everyone you love. And then they didn't kill anybody except for Jorah. R.I.P. Jorah.
And Theon.
Does anyone care?
Yeah, but really, like, he died when
Sansa is the only one who cares, and I don't really care what Sansa thinks, so I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, also, you're going to rush the Night King like you stand a chance? At least wait for him to get there.
He charged at him 500 feet away.
I know.
I could have beat Theon. I would have been like, oh, Theon's
just throw a rock at him. Just don't hit him in the dick.
So wait, hang on. For those who haven't watched it, here we go. We're about to spoil the shit out of Game of Thrones.
Season
all right,
eight,
so
spoilers.
If you haven't seen it yet, get... click off. You could watch it later or whatever. And
I mean, I think it was already spoiled.
Yeah, we already spoiled the shit out of it, right?
Yeah, I'm not watching it anyway. So just keep talking about it.
All right. So you were saying?
So I got like Jenny's song stuck in my head, super hardcore, and like,
it's a catchy tune too.
It really is. It's haunting. Uh-huh. And so finally, I was like, well, we have to do something with this because it's literally about to be the last episode of Game of Thrones. Last week's episode broke every record known to man for television watching audiences. And
did it really?
It was like something like 17 million something. Wow. It was it was a number that was high enough that they were like, no primetime drama has ever gotten this number.
Wow.
Yeah, HBO is screwed in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, HBO
seriously,
all the canceled.
They need some good programming.
Well, that's
quick.
Why they advertise every show on the network before Game of Thrones.
That Chernobyl show looks pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
But that's what they want you to do. They want you to go. Well, that show.
I'm getting suckered in. I'm letting them.
I refuse to watch them out of principle.
We every Sunday night we have a mini party at Yellow House for Game of Thrones, and last night we realized that we enjoy these parties too much to just give them up after Game of Thrones, so we're gonna have to find another show.
We're all
gonna
have to start watching Barry. I like Barry. Barry's good.
So I contacted a few talented folks in the area, Mr. James over here included, to get involved in doing a cover music video that we could release right before, like the day before the last episode, to really capitalize on that Game of Thrones morning that starts before the last episode. So we have the amazing, talented vocalist of Tale of a Monster lending their voice to this project.
That kid? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
It sounds pretty, okay? I knew what I wanted, and I was like, they can do it. They can do that thing. But then we also have James and Jeebus of Vile and of Cryptid Shadow. They're going to be providing the music. And as a bonus, through Tales Connections, we got Mr. Motherfucking Jim Fogarty, the producer of Killswitch Engage, to produce it.
Wow, cool.
And me and Steve Lesniak and a couple others are going to film it while he's producing it. So it's basically just going to be a lot of the Tale of a Monster singer staring off mournfully into a distance on top of a hill.
And as a side note,
holding a sword.
The music has nothing to do with other band.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that at all.
All of these artists are coming in independently to work on this. They're not sticking with their band's genre. They're just artists that all like, well, except for the Tale of a Monster. I don't think any of them have actually seen Game of Thrones. Except for Phil. Phil does sit with us at the Game of Thrones parties. He's a giant nerd like we are. But yeah, so the day before the last episode, I think that's May 18th. May 18th, we'll be dropping a music video for the cover of Jenny's song.
Cool. Very cool. That was the song Podrick sang at the end. Right?
Yeah.
And then Florence and the Machine.
Thank you. I was trying to think of who the hell covered it, or they wrote it, or somebody.
No, I think what happened was the composer of Game of Thrones, who is like one of the most talented and brilliant musicians working in cinema. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry.
He wrote it?
He wrote it.
He wrote it partially.
The original, the first line is in the books.
And then he went from
And then
there.
He wrote the melody, and he wrote the rest of the lyrics. And then he wrote an extended version because they filmed that scene like a year and a half ago, and then like 3 or 4 months ago they contacted Florence and the Machine and they're like, hey, you want to do this? It'll take you like 3 days. And they're like, yeah, sure, let's do that.
Probably.
Can we talk about Podrick though?
You like Podrick?
I was kind of
hoping Podrick would have banged Brienne actually. Instead of you knew Jaime Lannister was
Podrick
going to.
Podrick is too good for that.
For half a second I thought Podrick was going to bang Tormund.
I thought
you saw in his eyes. He's like, listen, I got you, buddy.
Podrick went to a whorehouse and came back with the money. That man can sing. He can clearly have sex. Well, he can do. That man wins. He'll have sex with a giant if he wants.
That's a fair point.
And
Tormund won't even feel ashamed about it.
No, he'll be like, I was honored with Podrick.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know where to begin right now with this whole Game of Thrones thing. But you brought up Tormund. Yeah. Wait, is that how you say his name? The Wilding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just up and leaving now. That's it. He's done.
He was I thought he was going to go fight
with Jon Snow right now?
Well, he said like a line that was like, hey, you'll never know if this is goodbye. And I feel like Tormund's way too big of a character, especially a fanfare character, for them to let him off that easy. And besides, also, that can't be the goodbye for Ghost. Oh, my mic just went out.
Well, it went out probably in your headphones, but it's out. Oh, okay. I hear you fine.
But yeah.
The mic wanted you to shut up.
Probably.
Did he come unplugged from your headphones?
Oh, yes, things out. No, I did think it was odd to be like, he's such a big character. Well, bye. And you're like, oh, all right. Have a good day. And you just leave. He'll be back, I assume.
You think so? I thought that was kind
of
weird.
Next week's episode is supposed to be even bigger than the Battle of Winterfell.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
Because they were like, the battle for the realm. And now the battle between these two girls who are having a fucking fit.
Yep. And that's supposed to be a huge thing, which I don't know how they're going to do that, seeing as that we saw everyone die last week, but they're all back now.
Only 8 people died, according to that diagram.
Yeah. All right. For the record, anyone who's listening, you saw all the Dothraki die with the rest of us, right? Mm-hmm. So then last night when they showed that map and they only took a third of the Dothraki soldiers off there, you called bullshit, right? Because that was some bullshit.
That was, you saw them all die.
Unless that wasn't all of them fighting.
No,
that was all of them fighting, because the whole thing was we all have to fight because we're all going to die.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they all were up front waiting there. Like maybe that was where, like, the asshole Dothraki.
There was a big establishing shot. You saw where all the horses were.
Mm-hmm. They all came back.
None of them came back.
No, like,
the horses came back.
Yeah, there was, like, 2 horses, and then Jorah. Jorah was like, I'm the one that lived, and, like, 5 other dudes.
So, you know what bothered me with this whole season of Game of Thrones is you're trying to tell me that I thought that the Battle of Winterfell would have stretched out a lot longer than it did.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you're saying that Cersei's a bigger threat than the Night King?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's, you know, ridiculous to be like, this monster who can, like, take over the world.
And then make the dead come alive again and
but
all
this. But chick with a pixie cut, no, she's the real danger.
Well, I understood it for one reason and one reason only, is that what's the name of the show?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. We're not gonna give the final has to be about the throne, not about the snowpocalypse, which is admittedly a much cooler story.
All right, understand. But don't you think they would have dragged that episode out a little bit longer than they did?
Yeah, at least make it a little more of like the fight, the Battle of the Bastards, I thought was way more epic.
I agree.
Like,
me too.
And
it was an eighth of the length.
Even the ending, you were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like that big ending with Jon and stuff. This didn't have that. Arya just kind of ex machina and...
The Arya moment was the one moment, I think, where we had cheers in the room. I think because we had like 15 people in there. And you've never heard ear-splitting fandom, like a bunch of nerds jumping up half drunk because Arya just straight-up Assassin Creed'd the Night King.
Can I say, too, I'm with Cersei, and I'm really pissed they didn't bring elephants in the Golden Compass. It's like since season one, they were like, they have elephants. There's going to be elephants. And now they're like,
and then the budget
is there
going to
be elephants? And they're like, we couldn't afford elephants. And you're like, well, then don't mention them for
17 million people watching can't afford elephants.
Yeah, they can't afford elephants. 300 could, but they can't.
They could afford to CG off Ghost's ear, but they can't afford some
they're
extra
down 2
CGs.
Dragon CG. They can do elephants.
Right.
Right. Also, who wants to start placing bets on next week?
I think Daenerys will die. I think Daenerys and Cersei will die.
I think
that solves every problem.
After this week, Daenerys and or Jon has to die.
No, Jon needs to live, Cersei and Daenerys die, and then there's no more issue.
I thought everyone dies, and then the zombies
rule
the world.
I kind
of
hope
that's a true, Game of Thrones. They all die, and it's just zombies.
Well, we thought that until the last episode ago.
And then all the zombies are gone.
Now somebody's definitely
living. You thought everyone else died, too. And then they're all still alive,
they're
I guess.
They're all still back, yeah.
So
with the Dothraki.
That would be amazing if next week's episode just ends with, we have King's Landing now, and then the snows start coming, and they're like, what's happening? And then there's just a giant
Bran
army.
It
turns out that Bran has really been the Night King the whole time, and all of those theories are true.
That was the dumbest theory ever.
Also, Bran has done nothing at all.
He said 5 words this whole season.
At all.
And he says everything like he's a little high. He's always like, I don't know. I'm the three-eyed raven.
You're not three-eyed ravening much, though.
Well, he is. He's just.
What did he do during
everyone.
The Battle of Winterfell? What did he do?
He wogged.
To do for what purpose?
To fly. I don't know. He likes flying.
I don't know
those
what
birds
going on
are were
What'd
carrying
you want
Arya.
Him to do?
Warg into the Night King, Warg into a dragon.
I don't think it's that
Warg
easy.
Warg, do something cool with your powers.
Last time he did, Hordor became mentally challenged.
Yeah, and then he also broke the space-time continuum, and remember how awesome that was.
It wasn't. Hordor's broken now and dead. Bran killed Hodor.
Yeah, he did.
He's a monster.
Can't argue with that.
Well, how would you rank this season? How would you rate it? If you had to give it a rating so far.
It's better than season one and two. All
right.
But I think
season one.
Season one is
season
terrible.
Two.
I think since they've gone off the books a little bit, it's kind of, the writing has gone.
You can tell. Like I was saying earlier before.
They're
we were,
just trying to struggle
there.
For a long.
Well, you can tell there's like one guy writing like a like this beautiful epic period piece of like humans and dealing with all this stuff. And then someone's like Michael Baying and he's like, and then a dragon and there's a war and then another war. But there's no elephants. And then no fight. And you're like, all right, Jim, calm the fuck down.
Why did they decide? Because obviously after season seven, no one's going to not watch two seasons of Game of Thrones. Why did they decide to combine the two seasons together is what I want to know. Because this is obviously two seasons worth of content.
Oh, yeah. You can tell that they cut out a lot.
Like, the last season's all kind of the episode before
it
the last episode
long.
Was a big battle.
Yeah.
This season's going to give us two big battles, kill the character development, rush subplots. Varys,
yeah,
Varys jumped really quick on the let's assassinate Dany bandwagon.
I know, it was like with day one, he's like, she's my queen, woke up the next day, he's like, I'm gonna murder her.
Yeah, right? That was, could you maybe go a little more slow?
Well, Tyrion even said that, though. Tyrion is like the fourth wall breaker who was like, so you just change your mind every day?
But even Tyrion's like, turn into a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Daenerys has kind of been like a psycho bitch lately.
Also, yeah, Daenerys suddenly turned into a psycho bitch lately.
Lately? I think, the whole time.
Starting last season.
She's flipped
Marine,
the script. But she's getting a little crazy now that she knows about John's true identity.
Which, I love to mention, John has the worst timing of any human being.
Right.
Hey, so I know about to go to a giant war to decide the fate of all living beings, and it's going to start any second, but I'm your nephew. Anyway, let's go have a good war. Like that. Wait a minute. Maybe one of you would have died, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Also, last night, there was that moment where they're, she's like so alienated from everybody at that party, and she just wants to get some dick from the one person that likes her and go to sleep. And he tries, and, in,
yeah,
and we were
like,
we were even saying, we're like, that's your aunt. And then finally she pulls away, and he's like, I don't know. Uh-huh. This is kind of weird feeling.
This is weird. Yeah. But to her, she's used to it.
Right? What? She's like, I was going to marry my brother anyway. This is actually like a stretch from that. This is a good thing.
Right. There's only half my bloodline.
Yeah, she's like, that's really good for us.
But yeah, that's just so weird too. And then you brought up before we went on air about that scene last night with Jon telling Sansa and Arya, like,
oh, yeah,
his true roots.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Bran, you tell him.
See,
and then they just cut to it.
Yeah, I just wanted, to see how Sansa reacted
me
to that.
Me too.
Because I'm sure she would have flipped apeshit and there would have had to have been this whole, like, Arya's like, Sansa, no, stop. Sansa, calm down. I wanted to see that.
I gotta say, June, the matter of an episode, it went from this is a secret, don't tell anyone, to everyone knows now.
Mm-hmm.
Like in like
how quick that spread too.
In like 5 minutes, everyone was like, I can keep a secret.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear? Like it was.
Also, something I noticed last night that I didn't really think about was so Varys and Tyrion know, and they're like, so how many people know now? And they count the amount of people. Did Dany tell them, or did they know? Because there's a subplot in the books that I feel like they smashed together here, where for up until where they are in the books right now, Varys has this kid who's a Targaryen bastard who technically sort of could be the heir to the Iron Throne. And he's trying, like, Varys's whole thing's in the books is he's going to get this kid onto the Iron Throne. And he's, no one else knows this except for like Varys and like two other people. I'm wondering if they're trying to like combine that storyline where
there's eight who know.
Where Varys knew this whole time.
But what do you mean? He makes eight. There's eight people that know. Sam, Gilly,
well,
Bran, John, Daenerys,
the way in which
Tyrion,
they were talking
Varys.
The way in which they were talking sounds insinuated right. to me that he had known since before Dany had known.
No, because he literally opened the scene with him being like, oh, so they're related then. And Tyrion was like, yep. And Varys was like,
oh. I guess I missed that.
Yeah, that's all like right. They opened the scene on Varys being like, I didn't know that.
Which is weird because I assume that Varys is the
one that's
supposed to
know everyone. Well, they're also not doing Lady Stoneheart or anything, so.
Yeah, but that just means that I feel like now the show's making Varys shittier.
Well, Varys has kind of always been a little shitty.
I mean, yeah, don't worry. It's all going to be over soon.
I know. Not going to be happy with this, my thing. I feel like I'm going to see the last episode and be like, really?
What
are we, 2 years
What
for
are we all going to do? Endgame, Avengers is done. Game of Thrones is done. Star Wars is coming up to be done.
Hopefully done.
We're all going to have to watch Sonic now and have opinions.
All right. Do we want to go into that right now?
No.
I do want to say this. Don't you think Sansa's starting always a little bit more like Cersei now?
Sansa,
have you noticed that?
I hated Sansa since season one because she always Sansa's
everything.
She's
a little stuck up little.
She Sansa's everything. Every time things are like going in a good direction, she'll be like, I'm going to fuck up everything because I want to. And you're like, thanks, Sansa. You have to ruin everyone's life. And that's what she's going to do again. She's going to, she's going to Cersei because she got all like, I got to be like a stronger person. And then she just, she like stuck onto Cersei for some reason and wants to be like her. Ugh, I miss what's her name? Tommen's wife.
Marjorie.
She would have been the best queen, way better than Daenerys.
Yeah, I agree.
Part of the King's Lair Club.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do those spinoffs? There's supposed to be a couple spinoffs, right?
They're shooting the pilot for Matt. The Dark Knight right now.
Now, which one's the Dark Knight? That's a horrible name,
by
the way.
Is that the one
with Batman? The Long Night, sorry.
Oh, okay. That's very different. It's a different franchise.
So Batman shows up and he builds the wall.
With Alfred.
With all his money. So in Game of Thrones lore, the original Long Night is probably the only super awesome, exciting thing that happened, which we don't know anything about. Everything else is super exciting. George R. R. Martin has written like an autobiography on every person involved with that. I would love to see a flashback episode of the thing that the Reigns of Castamere song is about, though.
I still wish they just did the Knight of the Seven Kingdoms as a show. I love Sir Duncan the Tall and Egg. That was like my favorite book of all the Game of Thrones stuff. I like that better than the show or the movies or anything.
I wouldn't want to see something that was recent like that. I'm glad they're doing the Long Night because that's something where they're free to invent almost all the characters themselves. It's in such a historically mythological setting that they can be like, here's what really happened that all those myths you heard about for the last eight seasons were about.
They're going to be in the same issue we were talking about with Star Wars on the way here, that like people are going to want to know, they're going to want callbacks to all the lore on the side. Like,
there's definitely going to be
about,
like
the fireball and like the storm and like
who was the Night King before he was the Night King and
who
are the children of the forest? What the hell is up with a three-eyed raven?
All that is going to happen.
The angles,
the time placement that the show takes place in, they could theoretically
and
answer
called,
all those questions.
It's called The First Men, I thought.
The First Men.
Well, I know the pilot episode is called the Long Night, or I thought the show was called Long Night.
The show is called The First Men because it's about the Northerners, the first men to show up. And the children, and then they might get to the angles.
I hope that they do it early enough that... See, here's the problem, is that if you stick by the straight Game of Thrones chronology, so the first men come over, and they fuck with the children of the forest, and then the children of the forest do the coolest thing in Game of Thrones lore history, which is they bring down, like, a super weapon that destroys the land bridge between Essos and Westeros, which is just such a fucking cool visual I would love to see in a show. But then nothing cool happens for like a thousand years until the Long Night.
Yeah. Because the children just live in the forest and the men just live there and they're
Which I guess that means that they create the Night King as an alternative to their other super weapon. And then he just does nothing for 1,000 years.
Can we just realize that George R. R. Martin has not thought through any of this at all and has no idea what's going on either?
It would be cool to see what's west of Westeros. Is the world really round?
East.
No, west.
You can't go west of Westeros. You have to go east.
No, you can go west of Westeros. That's why
but
that's an interesting question.
Then you're in the east.
Yes, just like going to find China with Columbus. I get it.
Yeah.
But also, is there another like cool continent?
Yeah, Middle
like,
Earth. He's already tried to say that once.
Yeah, but you think that they're actually going to do that? All of a sudden, the Amazon Middle Earth show and the Game of Thrones prequel become the same show.
He did try to say that at one point. He did it. Our George R. Martin in the beginning was like, maybe it's Middle Earth, and everyone was like, no, it's not. Stop it.
Yeah, stop teasing me with that.
Well, let me ask you guys, what's your predictions for the end?
Daenerys and Cersei will both die, Jon Snow become king, and then everyone will...
Is that what you want to happen?
That's what I want to happen and what I think might. Also, Jaime will kill Cersei.
I think Arya kills Cersei.
I think Jaime kills Cersei.
No, Arya kills Jaime. Jaime kills Cersei. Because they're both on her list. She has to kill someone with green eyes, but Jaime has to kill his... love of his life who's pregnant with his kid.
The Hound and the Mountain kill each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
That's next.
The Gang Bull.
That's probably the next episode.
That's going to be the biggest battle out of all three wars is going to be that fight.
Uh-huh.
Watch them half-ass it, and I'm just going to be so
pissed. Like, they cut out in the middle, and then just the Hound's alive.
I would like to think that they know enough from George R. R. Martin that they will do that thing where they know what we're expecting and then don't do it and kill John off. Again, but they're not smart enough, these new writers, to do that.
No, John can't die, though. And I know everyone wants to go, but it's Game of Thrones. No,
it's not Game of Thrones anymore. That's the problem, is that since the
midway through season 6. Well, you know Martin wanted John on the throne from, like, the beginning, too. He's not as clever as we want him to be.
No, I know. That's a good,
and it's starting to show.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why he got so mad and why he stopped writing the book, is he was like, oh, everyone figured out all my stuff. And we're like, yeah, you're not that good at this, apparently.
Well, he is.
He is, but he's not like I don't know. He's just trying to play a little too clever than I think anyone could. Because he gave people years to figure out stuff, and they did.
It's just the fan base. There's too many people analyzing everything. It reaches a point where whatever his plan was, someone's figured it out at this point.
Then and down to the point where they're like, well, Rhaegar's harp is in Lyanna's grave now, and you can tell because of this and this, and then that, and you're like, okay, sure, that's a lot of shit.
Do you think he'll take all that fan backlash and then just completely fuck up the books just so that it'll be different?
No, I think he'll do literally what people want so he can make a lot of money.
I think he's made enough money, but you never know.
If I was him, I would just write something else and never touch
just
this shit again.
Just never finish Game of Thrones.
Move on to another project.
Because who wants to deal with that? Whatever you do, people are going to hate you.
And he has other books that are pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He has Wild Card, which is not a bad series. What's more like dystopian future-y and stuff. Game of Thrones is just the one that caught on.
Yeah,
but he has some pretty good other books out there.
Alex, what do you think? What's your predictions for the end? All right, what do you want to happen, and what are your predictions?
All right, what do I want to happen?
I
want Arya to kill everybody is what I want to happen. The one thing that I find is interesting, and that he's such a not interesting character that everyone keeps forgetting about him until last night, is what is Euron going to do? Because I don't believe that he's like crazy about Cersei. Or maybe the show writers are just that bad.
No, he wants to be in charge, and Cersei's going to have him killed after they win.
Yeah, except for...
I think he's fueled by power.
I don't see Cersei winning. However, I totally see Drogon dying.
Yeah, no. Well, maybe Drogon won't die, and then Jon will be... I want the scene where a dragon tries to, like, fire on Jon, and then he's fine, and everyone's like, oh, he's a dragon, too, and then everything's screwed for
I feel
everyone.
Like the writers forgot all about that.
What, that he's a dragon?
No, that the Targaryens are immune to fire.
They wrote it like 30 times, and Daenerys doing it. It's like her one magic trick.
Yeah, they wrote it 30 times while George was doing the scripts.
That's why I think the Night King was a Targaryen, because she blasted him with all the fire, and he just came out of that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's why I thought he was a Targaryen at first.
That would actually make sense. I mean, the Three-Eyed Raven originally was a Targaryen that Bran met.
But how would it make sense for the Night King to be a Targaryen? He was turned into the Night King thousands of years before the Targaryens ever came over.
He was the first Targaryen.
There you go.
Do you feel like, even though it took 2 years for them to get this season out, do you feel like it was still rushed?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like these episodes have been rushed. It's kind of like...
I don't think the production was rushed, because obviously all the episodes look and sound gorgeous. I think that due to we're going to shove everything into this final season, the script pacing is rushed as fuck.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And that's a good way to put it.
Because there should be... Game of Thrones seasons 1 through 5 are a bunch of character moments that set up... Instead of the typical way of writing a story, which is set up and payoffs, it's all about the actual political strategy. Which is why, if you're watching season 3... Every other scene with Robb Stark is setting up how he's going to win the War of the Kings, which is why the Red Wedding works so well, is because you don't see... There's no build-up to that.
No, it just happens
because it's part of the big chess game that everyone's playing. Starting in season 6, the writers aren't thinking about the chess game. The writers are thinking a more traditional setup and payoff story. So now everything's becoming predictable because they're writing a TV show now. Yeah, and you're like, aha.
Yeah.
And then you know there's going to be a payoff with it. So things from like this episode, like Varys is going to do a bad thing to Dany and she might die, or Dany might do a bad thing to John and he might die, or no, Dany's going to die.
You think so?
Yeah, it's I do. And I also think that, Alex, they turned it into a TV show way more than it used to be. What was fun about it was, like, you didn't know Varys was going to save Tyrion after he killed Tywin. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't prepared for that. And that's what made it awesome. So you were like, oh, shit, Varys is actually doing good stuff. And now it's very much like they're just trying to build. We don't need, like, a cliffhanger to watch the next season episode anymore. Like, we're here. We're going to watch them, even if they're terrible. So, like, they don't need to build things up and be like, what's he gonna do? Be like, it's fine. We're gonna watch it. You have us already. Like, stop selling us.
Right. You know, like, especially after last night's cliffhanger, you know what's gonna happen next.
And that's
and it's not really
problem.
A cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Though it was an epic way to end that that episode.
I thought the Masende dying was, like, way too quick, where they were like, we got her captured. We're here. She's dead now.
Yeah.
It happened in, like, 5 minutes. You were like,
the script pacing, like Alex
said. Yeah. It was literally like they're like, so Daenerys is pissed. Let's get her a little more mad because, I don't know.
And that's why I feel like this episode, or I should say this season, has gone a little too fast and rushed because the timeline's kind of all screwed up now.
A little bit.
You know, everything's just happening way too fast.
Actually, you know whose fault this actually might be, all of this, is Star Wars. It might be Star Wars. All right, so hear me out on this. So right as season 7 was debuting, there was an announcement that the D&D, David Benioff and the other guy, Dan, what the hell is the other showrunner's name? I don't fucking remember. But the two guys have been the showrunners for this whole time. That they had gotten a deal with Disney for Disney, when Disney was still expecting to do its expanded Star Wars universe, to do a trilogy of Old Republic films.
Really?
And so
is that going down?
I don't think that that's going down the way it originally was planned.
Disney
I think,
halted a lot after Solo flopped.
I think that that's probably going to become a Disney Plus thing now.
Okay.
If they're probably going to do The Mandalorian and then do, but at that time, that was the move that I saw these two guys making. So I think that had a lot to do with them saying, "Hey HBO, we know this is your most profitable IP, but we need to go." So why don't we just wrap all this up in one season? And HBO was like, well, we don't know who else to fucking give the show to. You guys have been doing it the whole time, so I guess that's what we're doing now. And so that's why everything is so rushed this season, because they felt, at least at the time, we have to get it all done one season, because the next year we're going to be doing Star Wars. We don't have time to do a ninth season of Game of Thrones.
Do you think they regret it now?
Probably.
That they wish.
You can
that no. They
you can tell in the behind the scenes.
They all look sad.
Especially Benioff. Every time he's talking about one of the things that we're like, "Why'd you do that?" He's like, "Well, you see what we saw this happening like a long time ago."
I think that they're just sad, and I don't know. And you're like, "Oh, you
there's a podcaster, a videographer, podcaster does a series about he calls it D&D Dumb and Dumber." And he just has been the whole season 8. He makes episode after episode just tearing it apart, and all of, like, he's like, "Why are these characters acting like this? Where are their motivations? Why are we teleporting again? Why is that a thing? We know what the geography of this place looks like. Are you telling me that whole episode was 4 months long? What the fuck is up with that?" I mean, you're right, maybe, but there's no feeling of the passage of time. It just feels like Dany is all of a sudden back at Dragonstone.
I think part of that comes from, like, do you want to watch them stand there for 3 weeks?
No,
like,
but you could easily take care of that with a line or a scene transition.
Oh, it took 3 weeks to get here, but I'm here now. Like, that's clunky.
But I feel like there's a lot of creativity that's no longer being utilized in the show.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's obviously. Now, instead of feeling like I was saying earlier, how it's all a big strategic chess game, which that was what gave the characters their motivations, and that's also what kept the show going slow, was that, because that's long-form storytelling. You can't do that in a standard TV format. That now they're rushing it out, and they're like, just fucking find a way. Just find a way.
I also feel like they killed too many of people's reason for doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So now all that's left is Cersei, and if you don't really care about her, you have no motivation anymore. Like, Tyrion is like, "Yeah, my sister sucks. I'll go do that, I guess." Like, no one gives a shit but Daenerys anymore about Cersei, because that's, like, her enemy.
Well, why? What is Cersei's motivation at this point, that she's pregnant?
She has some weird power lust
thing. She's gotta save the baby in her belly, like something.
Which she won't. We know. That's another thing. We know that that won't work out because she was literally told that. Like, we all learned that. She was young. They were like, you'll never see your kids grow up. So we know that this won't work out. Like, we've known for, like, 8 seasons this won't work out.
But what about the North?
Sansa.
Sansa. Yeah, no, Sansa's the warden of the North. Jon's king. And then dragons are all gone, and then everyone moves on with their day. And maybe they can progress past the freaking Middle Ages for once.
Right? Someone invent a steam engine or
and
something.
And dragons. And my brother brought up the best point about Lord of the Rings, where he was one day, he was like, how come they have all this magic, but, like, no one has a phone? I was like, that's a very good point. Why does no one have electricity? Just none of that exists. But they're like, yeah, but dragons and giant eagles.
We can fly dragons right now.
Yeah, but no one has ever done any technology. They just came up with a giant crossbow, and everyone's like, this is a technological marvel. Like, it's just a bigger version of that. Like, it took you years to figure out.
Right.
Yeah, someone needs to come up with electricity or something.
What the hell is his name?
Oh, that weird...
The weird old man.
Necromancer, yeah. Essentially.
Which he has evidently like a lab, like a Frankenstein lab.
I think they've shown
electricity. Wait, you're talking the maester?
Yeah, Cersei's maester. They've shown his lab, and I'm pretty sure like there was stuff in it that were like, oh, so he's got the technology.
Yeah, but he's also like half necromancer.
Who cares what you are? Just maybe get a patent on it. And, like, sell the licensing rights to all the fucking people that need it.
Quit. Why? I'm going to be very rich. I invented the light bulb, and it's going to change the world.
What about all this wildfire that's sitting underneath King's Landing?
Is there any still left? Because he's mentioned that, too. And I'm like, I thought Cersei used every last drop to take out the temple there.
That was a great episode.
That was the last great episode of Game of Thrones.
You think so? No, I think there's been a few more.
I think when Tommen, though, like I lost my shit when Tommen just walked so casually out. Like, that's the good Game of Thrones we were talking about. There wasn't a build-up where Tommen was like, I'll just run out a window, and then he does it, and you're like, oh, I knew that. He just did it randomly, and you were like, oh, shit. Okay, and Tommen's dead.
It goes back to the element of surprise that you're talking about earlier, and that's what made Game of Thrones so epic.
You'll watch it and be like, oh, shit. Oh, okay, I guess that's the world now.
Yeah, something. You're not expecting any of this.
Whereas Missandei, that was such a big... what's your last words? And you were like, oh, they're going to kill her then. And then it waited still like 5 minutes, and then they did it. And you were like, yup. Versus old Game of Thrones, I think that they would have been like, we'll let her go. And then she would have been like, nah, and then just like pushed her, and you've been like, oh, God.
Yeah, I go back to what you just said, though, because I really do believe that was the last like great episode of Game of Thrones. Can anyone tell me what happened in season 7 besides them going north of the wall and the dragon turning into a nice dragon?
The Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, that was season 6.
It was?
Yep. Was the episode right before she blows up the temple. Yeah.
Oh, because that was the whole time with you. I was like, Battle of the Bastards. Mm-hmm.
That was season 6?
Nothing happens in season 7 other than they go north of the wall.
Oh, yeah. No, the rest
dragon.
Of it is a lot of Daenerys.
And that's when I stopped watching.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Season 7 is a lot of reunions.
Yeah, so. It's a lot of Daenerys complaining and people like being like, hey, you, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. That's all season 7 was. Yeah. And it was mostly just fan service shit. And then this season has been more fan service shit, except for now the stakes don't mean anything anymore because you can see an entire army wiped out. But nope, the next episode, that was only a third of them.
I know, that was ridiculous.
I think the idea in general of, I think it would have been smart to ask Martin, hey, what was your plan to deal with wars in five minutes here? Like, how would you, in any conceivable way, do that without having an army obscenely large? And I don't think he even had an answer for that yet.
They always say in the interviews, and I don't know how much this is true, but that you know they have consistent creative consultations with Martin where they're like, all right, so basically what happens here so that we can turn it into an episode, and he gives them a gist.
Yeah, but you don't think a part of that is him being like, yeah, you guys know what you're doing.
Oh no, I feel like that's happened more and more since he stopped writing the episodes.
I think he's sick of it.
He's got to be.
He is.
Wouldn't you? Put yourself in his shoes.
Yeah. No.
What do you think of people constantly clawing at him, wanting to know this, wanting to know that? Well, people want information and what's going to happen next. That would drive me crazy.
It's like the author of Harry Potter for the last one. She literally like snuck away to like a hotel in like a mountain and just stayed there for 3 weeks to write it because she was like, I couldn't stand any human being around me because mm-hmm. all they would, even like friends and family would be like, how you doing? So what happens? And she was like, everyone needs to F off. Wait, right now.
Do you
now.
Mean the
like,
book or the movie?
The book.
All right, because the last book, the she last movie
went off.
She did phone that in.
Everyone did. Harry Potter was drunk the whole time. No one
wanted
No.
I don't mean the last Harry Potter movie. I mean the last Harry Potter universe movie because J.K. Rowling writes the scripts for the Fantastic Beasts movies. Yeah.
When did George Martin start? What's the RR for, by the way?
He likes Tolkien. He liked Tolkien so much he stole his double R's.
I got
literally, you. Yeah.
What do you think? When did he stop writing the scripts?
Season five.
And then he was highly advising on season six, which uh-huh. is why season six feels weird in some places,
then,
but right in other
and
places.
And seven, I think he did. He backed away.
He just dipped out.
He was saying a lot with the books where he was like, I am exhausted from you all. Like, he was even saying, like, he's like, I am a little done because you all, like, you guess the things or, like, you're just yelling at me for everything. And he tried to hire someone to finish the book series, actually. And then the fans were like, we're not going to read it unless you do. He's literally, like, being tortured by his success. Where they're like, no,
for real,
you
you're right.
do it. And he's like, I don't want to. And they're like, we don't care what you want. Like, he's, like, trapped himself because nothing is scarier than fanboys and nerds who are just like, do it.
Right.
Give me the answers. What does L plus R mean?
That's the problem, though. And James brought it up earlier when he was talking about just the fanfare gets so crazy that people have all these expectations. Mm-hmm. If you have all these expectations, there's no letdown.
Well, that's why no Star Wars movie will ever be good.
Right. No
no fan base is ever going to be like,
you can't actually write a movie at this point.
Oh, no. And that's right. The whole way up here, we were talking about how they can't make Star Wars good because all the lore and all the content. Mm-hmm. The movies are already pre-written. And
it is.
I loved the last.
It's a format.
I loved mm-hmm. the second and the new trilogy. And everyone's like, oh, I hate it. And I was like, why? They were like, because. And I was like, all right, then.
Because
well,
that wasn't my Luke.
Yeah, I know. That wasn't Star Wars. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
It's an angry Luke.
Yeah.
That's exactly that's what a bitter old man Luke would be like.
But that's called character progression.
Right.
Like, what do you want? Like, everyone just, because everyone wants something different.
Do you think Luke is really dead?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
I think he is in the way that Jedi's die, but he's still going to Christensen himself.
Force ghost?
He's going to force ghost the shit out of this. But then, of course, they're probably going to force ghost a bunch more people in here that don't. They're going to make it so complicated because J.J. Abrams, he loves his mystery boxes. He's going to complicate the shit out of this, but then also have to find a way to tie it all up in a nice bow at the end. And J.J. Abrams has never done that in his history, except for maybe Felicity. Did anyone ever watch Felicity?
No, they didn't.
No, no one ever watched
Can
Felicity.
I just say,
so we don't know.
My biggest issue with, too, has been, like, Kylo Ren has always been like, this is for Darth Vader. We know Hayden Christensen can show up as a ghost. Why can't he just be like, hey, stop. Like, quit your shit. I did it. I get it. It's fun.
Yeah.
The helmet's dope. But just quit your shit.
Don't take my path.
Yeah. And then the movies would have ended in 5 minutes. But no, like, he's just sitting there like, I'll let him figure it out. And like, people are dying. He's like, yeah, what are you going to do? And, like, Yoda clearly still has power. Why hasn't he done anything useful? But, see, this is what I mean. I'm doing the exact thing. They're like, it's a movie. Leave us alone.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the thing, like I said earlier, too. Everybody has all these expectations. But if you don't have any expectations, there's no letdown.
Yeah.
And then that's the whole thing, the whole mystery, like who Snoke is. And that was, like, the biggest mystery of all these Star Wars fans.
And then it turned out to be nobody.
Nobody, you know?
Everyone wants to see what they already know. No one wants to see anything. No, it's like we're talking about earlier with music. It's the same thing.
You want to see
you
what
want,
you know
you, want, you already
what
know.
You think.
You don't want something new and original. You don't want, like...
Because that'll make you think, and you have to like, deal with a new worldview mm-hmm. and stuff. You want, as much as people will complain if they get everything they want, and well, fan service, then if they don't, they're like, and they didn't even do this or talk about that thing. And it's like, what do you want? What do you want? And then if you ask every nerd out there, you're going to get 8,000 different answers. Mm-hmm.
You know what I have no expectations about gleefully because
Sonic
I don't.
The Hedgehog movie?
I don't know. I have bad expectations. for that. No, the new trailer came out today for Spider-Man.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
Home.
I will
and
not stop.
You know what? I've
what
never
is it?
Had an opinion on Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Far From Home.
And
I love
the new trailer. Movies. Definitely Endgame spoiler heavy. But after Endgame, I was like, okay.
Where are they going to go?
All of my expectations for this have been fulfilled.
Yeah, no.
Whatever they have after this is just candy.
And I'll be honest, I wanted to hate the new Spider-Man. Like, the second he was announced, I was like, I hate this kid so much. I don't even know him. I hate him. And then I couldn't. He was so great. I was like, damn him. I love him so much. And he's amazing, and he's going to be great. It's going to be a good movie. You just have issues with Spider-Man.
My issue with Spider-Man is that I don't really have an opinion on Spider-Man.
When does that come out?
That comes out in July, I think.
Yeah. July's going to be heavy for movies.
I was just going to ask, is there a lot of good movies?
Lion King is coming out, and that's going to be amazing.
Don't you feel, I mean, Alex, you're in the movie business, man. You've been making movies for a long time. Don't you feel like Hollywood has lost its creativity?
Oh,
they
like
have to go back to all
I
these.
I don't think they ever had it.
They did.
There's definitely.
No. Just, you didn't realize all the things they were ripping off back then. They were still ripping off old things. You just didn't know it.
That's a question about nomenclature, really, because how do you define Hollywood? Because me and him watch a lot of indie movies, and there's still amazing shit being made left and right. Obviously, big budget, big marketing Hollywood. Yeah, no, they're doing what they always do, which is being like, all right, let's look at the demographics. What's tried and true? Okay, so we need another Avengers and another video game adaptation.
You got mad at me for what I said about Fight Club.
Why would you say about Fight Club?
That Fight Club's a ripoff. Fight Club is a ripoff of the movie Cable Man, Jim Carrey. I watched that movie recently. Have you seen it? Have you seen the Cable Man with Jim Carrey?
I mean, I wish it was more like Fight Club.
No, it is Fight Club.
I thought you said
Fight Club. It's literally, I watched it and I was like, this is Fight Club, but with Jim Carrey and what's his name from the producers who played Simba in the original.
Simba?
Yeah, the guy that plays Simba as an adult in the original Lion King is the actor in that movie. He was in
the
producers.
All I'm thinking of is Nathan Lane, but
that's who it is.
That's not Simba.
No, he's Timon, the other one. It's the other one in that movie that plays adult Simba.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, who? Matthew Broderick.
Yes. You're acting like an asshole here, and then he's like, oh, Matthew Broderick. Yeah, it's Matthew Broderick and Jim Carrey. It's literally, go watch it. It's the movie Fight Club.
What movies that are coming out this summer that you're looking forward to seeing?
Lion King. And I know everyone's
so it's the remake of Lion King?
Here's the thing.
Shot by shot. Let's see it.
Because
why are you remaking Lion King?
Here's the thing, though. I did not like any of the other remake ones because they're all... It is. It's lazy. It's dumb.
Why are you remaking it?
But they're doing it as perfectly as they could.
He loves the voice cast.
The voice cast could not have been more perfect.
I just want them to make a live-action version of Hunchback because that would be fucking amazing. Just keep the gargoyles out. Hunchback would have been the best Disney movie ever if it wasn't for those fucking gargoyles.
Well, that's
because
they had to make it fun for the kids.
No, Hunchback was the most traumatizing.
No, you've told me the real story. It's terrible.
I think you just think it's applicable right now, considering recent events.
Well, I mean, also, that's the only villain.
That would be great, actually. You know how much PR that would get to bring out Hunchback right now with Notre Dame?
He's back
with Notre Dame and with the hashtag MeToo movement, because that's the villain is a hashtag MeToo villain. He has a song about how he wants to fuck a girl or he's going to kill her.
So does Scar. They cut it out.
Oh, yeah.
Scar had a weird Nala, I'm gonna
rape
you
song.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That was a reason that they watched Disney. It and were like, we should cut that.
There's so many things they shouldn't remake, though. Like, why are you remaking Point Break?
No, they already did. Oh, they did?
Everyone forgot.
Why?
You just wasted all this money on a movie nobody's going to watch.
Well, because right now we're in the nostalgia generation of Hollywood.
Everything's retro.
Because us 90s kids, all we have is nostalgia. Because everything right before we were born and right after we were born was terrible. So, like, first the Cold War ends, and then there was hope for the world, and then 9/11 happened, and hope was ripped apart. So that, like, 13-year period is just
I think it comes in waves.
What? It does.
They wait for people to forget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the things you remember from when you were a kid were probably a ripoff of something else.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so far before you that you don't even know.
It was just not
so
as blatant a ripoff.
Until a long enough period has passed that the new kids have no idea what came out when we were kids.
Good point.
I would also say, too, a lot of it is on Disney because they own
everything.
Also, too, because the copyright laws change every time Disney wants them to, there is so much content that is never going to be produced or out there just because they legally can't. Because every time Mickey comes up for becoming public domain, they magically change the laws again. They've done it like 4 times. And Mickey is coming up soon again, or they already dealt with it quietly, but he's never going to be public domain, so they always change the laws. There's millions of songs that no one knows who wrote or who owns that they just can't put out because they don't know, they can't legally. There's a lot of content that can be refreshed, and it would still be remakes, but of stuff we might have never even heard of.
Give me a Don Quixote movie. someone, please.
There's no like, one has really done that.
No, Terry Gilliam wanted to, and then they cut the funding like 2 weeks into filming.
Don Quixote is a thing that's very under, I mean,
that
like,
been great.
Appreciated and
yes,
shown.
Thank you.
That would be great.
Is there like a statute of limitation especially on some Gilliam. Of those copyrights, though, right? Like a certain 20-year mark or something.
It changes,
and then it
though,
becomes public yeah. domain.
But it changes.
Depends on how much money you have.
Right. Disney has successfully lobbied that law to change.
Like five times.
Yeah. Mm.
Because, like, The Simpsons has always been open source public domain on all their characters and content
oh, wow.
forever. They've oh. always been like, we don't do what you want with it. And they've been like, it's been fun to see what people do with it. Where Disney's like, no one touches Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
He's ours. Because they don't want Mickey flipping off someone on a T-shirt. It's off-brand. And
also the amount of things that pull from that. The amount of iconic...
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know,
they
are actually some Disney properties I would like to see them reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I were just talking about some of them the other day. Do you remember the terrible 80s or late 70s, early 80s sci-fi Disney movie, The Black Hole?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see them do that, like on an interstellar scale. Or Swiss Family Robinson. I would love to see them redo Swiss
okay.
Family Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned... Go to the bathroom. You mentioned the retro thing and mm-hmm. like growing up and stuff like that. Have you guys been watching any of the Cobra Kai?
I watched the first season of Cobra Kai. The first season of Cobra Kai was great. I caught the first episode of season two and
yeah.
didn't even pay attention to it.
Yeah, so you didn't.
I probably.
What'd you think of it?
I should probably watch it again. But no, the first season of Cobra Kai
was great.
I thought was great.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Second season's good too. It's a little cheesier. You know, the more. Geared towards kids and stuff, but yeah. there's some, what do they call, as the kids say, Easter eggs in mm-hmm. a lot of these episodes, and you kind of go back in time, like, to the song that they were playing in the original, and
that's
then
what
this
I liked
happens,
about the first
and,
season, like, they
right.
actually had...
There's a lot of that going in the second season, too.
Oh, cool, well, then I'll definitely give it another chance, then. So, everyone hasn't noticed, because Endgame's been happening, Game of Thrones has been happening, but DC has released one of the best superhero things ever in the last month or two, Doom Patrol. If you're not watching Doom Patrol, holy shit, it's so good. It's so, so good. Chris hates DC with a passion. He's one of those kids that's still like, Marvel versus DC, Marvel's better. But Doom Patrol is actually like, it's got unique characters. It's got an ingenious, wacky, out there storyline where you have no idea what's going to happen in the next episode. And it's creative and it's interesting and it's not formulaic and it's... If there was an opposite to what they were doing with the shitty Zack Snyder movies, it would be Doom Patrol. Check it out. It's so good.
And
so
Disney good. Goes to subscription-based pretty soon, too, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's going to just... I mean, the amount of content that they're going to have on that app, it's going to be ridiculous.
Actually, I saw the initial content offerings that
Did
they
you?
Had, and it wasn't... Lizzie McGuire was on that list.
Yeah, but
who
yeah.
are all these people?
I'm sure
watch
gonna there's going
to
be a lot of cheese.
They
on
have
that
to put
list.
A little bit of everything.
You have to.
Yeah, but here's
so
the
they
thing.
Can see what grabs people. What's most
it?
Marketable?
Who's going to pay? For
Well, they don't know. That's why they're trying.
But you're
going to
pay for Disney and Apple and Amazon and Hulu and Netflix, and then you're going to have your own Nickelodeon
you have
one
a choice?
And a DC one.
No, Disney will just
yeah,
buy them all eventually.
Yeah, you're going to just no. True. You're going to illegally stream them like we do.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen every episode of Doom Patrol.
I'm sorry to hear that you do that. I would never do such a thing.
Oh, I know. I don't know where I learned how to do that stuff from either. Who would have taught me that when I was younger?
I do it.
Everyone does it because I'm not paying DC a bunch of money to watch one thing they did
right. Which is kind of sad because their offerings, they brought back Young Justice and it was really mature now and really awesome. And next they're doing Swamp Thing. But so many people are like us.
The new Joker movie looks good, actually. Yeah.
There's so many people are like us, though, that are like,
middle.
We can't
I'll
afford
it,
DC
I think
streaming
choice.
Service that they had to cancel the last two episodes of Swamp Thing and rewrite it into one episode to reshoot because they were like, oh, so no one's buying our streaming service. So now it's affecting directly the creative content that we're creating.
I literally listened to a whole long thing on NPR about how these streaming services are all going to like die,
oh,
and the only ones left are going to be
the ones
we have now already. It's going to be Netflix, because Netflix has a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
Hulu has a bunch of different stuff. Amazon doesn't really have anything, but like right.
Disney might be able
stuff.
To pull their own.
No, Disney's going to be huge.
They have so
Why?
Much content.
What
if they make
have?
It exclusive to them,
yeah.
there's but everyone watches some Disney something occasionally.
Yeah,
if you can only do it through them, they're going to be able to float with
it. You got to remember, too, Disney owns ESPN, so they got all that content as well. So they're going to have that whole sports section.
And they own
and Marvel.
And don't they own Fox
They own Fox now,
ABC and Fox.
So literally, yeah, they're going to be the new big one.
Really, someone needs to stop that.
Yeah.
Any other time in history, that would have been illegal. AT&T
what, you mean
and Verizon
changing
up.
Laws based on
What's
Disney?
That? Yeah,
you know, I mean, we already discussed that. They're already doing that, so it doesn't really matter. They'll just change the law if it gets to that point. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they will. They
really,
have so
people
much.
Will subscribe to the Disney Plus service for two reasons. A, The Mandalorian. B, now that Endgame's over, all those characters that we actually really like from the Marvel movies that they're not going to make big movies out of, they're making shows out of. So WandaVision, the Loki show, which looks amazing. It's basically Loki jumping through time with the Tesseract, causing mischief. Which is the best idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, but
like
again,
Loki causes the Kennedy assassination. That's amazing.
But
I mean,
again,
best or worst, I guess.
Yeah, I think that sounds
one way or the
terrible.
Other.
Terrible.
Really? There's no middle ground.
Again, though, I'm just not going to pay for it, though. I'm going to watch all of it. I'm just not going to pay for it.
I agree.
If you get to be a giant juggernaut company who goes, we control everything, then I get to go, I know how the internet works, and I'm going to get free stuff from you.
Well, the one thing it did, it eliminated a lot of the... cable tell
my parents recently, and like I had to explain it to them for like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
that if they get Hulu with Live, they get sports with it, and they already have Netflix and Amazon. I'm like,
and get yourself a digital antenna so you get the local stations.
And they were like, what about like cable? I'm like, half of what you guys watch, I go, is network, which is you're literally like an American right to have access to. It's free, so you can get HD cable through antennas now. You just plug that in. Get Hulu Live, and for a third of the price. And then they were like, what about internet? I was like, you get a third party that's way better than Spectrum. Because Spectrum's so bad, the state wants to sue them.
Yep.
Because they're the worst internet in the world.
I agree.
My brother lived in Long Island and had Fios. And then when he moved back up here, he, like, can't stand the internet. It's god-awful. It's so slow and terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yeah, you don't need cable anymore.
You don't.
And you also don't need... really, the local news the way it is, you don't really need that.
Because you can get it on the internet.
That's the thing, you know?
Yesterday, I was at my parents' house for dinner, and they had a newspaper. I was like, I haven't seen a newspaper in years. It's like, this is how you get your news still. And it's just weird, because you get your news through, I mean, I'll go through, like, Twitter, and then you see, like, a little headline, and you go to that link, and you read it off of there.
Honestly, my alarm clock reads me the news. When it goes off, it's like a Google Assistant. It'll read me the top headlines.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, anything you're getting out of a newspaper at this point, it's going to be a day old.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going online, you're going to know about it a day ahead.
That's the problem is the cycle has gotten so fast that it's now bad, and we're getting false news because of it. To the point that, a newspaper, by the time it's written and printed, it's already
old news.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I know about that.
Yeah.
I still like the feeling of a tangible thing.
I hate
in my
when people
hand,
say that.
Reading.
That doesn't make, that's not a sentence. I hate when people say that. I like the feeling of holding something. What? Then hold your phone. What does that mean? What does that mean?
It doesn't feel the same.
The
phone
doesn't smell like
paper. Okay, now release like a newspaper textured like phone case.
Yeah.
And then
I would use a Kindle if it opened like this and it smelled like
you just have to replace it occasionally so it keeps smelling
like
fresh.
Do they really?
Yeah.
With old paper
Kindles? It's a Kindle case that's in like an old book of nothingness, basically. And you open it up and it's like you're holding a book. For no reason other than you people feel like you're better than other people.
It's still not the same.
By being like, it's really a book. Isn't. None of it matters. It's not. It's all the same.
Can you smell your screen? Do you get that nice, fresh page smell? Or even the old page smell. Screens
go.
Just don't have that.
Buy an incense. I don't know.
It's almost like...
That should be an incense, actually, if it's not.
Old paper, old book.
I think you're onto something.
Have you seen the phones that... They're the actual receiver phones that you hook up to your cell phone nowadays? Have you seen any of those?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh. It's
those
the same principle. Yeah, they actually, it's an old receiver. Like an old dial-up type of telephone that you can plug into your phone.
Do they have one that's like the... The old ones with like the earpiece and then the mouthpiece.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like the separate thing.
Yeah, okay. And you can hook it right into your telephone.
Someone
or your cell phone.
Hipster something stuff that has a rotary dial, so you can just put on the face.
I want to actually get back to where I get a operator and I have to go. Can you dispatch me, please?
I mean, they can probably do that.
Oriskany Street, and then someone goes, 1 second, please, and then I hear the dee 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 dee.
It just takes so much time.
I mean, you just have like Google or Alexa, Siri, whatever. They can just. Make
They're
it into
make
an operator.
That.
Why not?
Alexa,
why not
please connect me to
Technically, isn't that what you do? If you say, hey, Alexa, call blah, 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 whatever.
Oh, that's literally what it's doing. It's just there's not some weird lady.
You just didn't have to press. You didn't have to press zero to get there first.
Yeah.
Well, today's operators are also known as AI.
Yeah.
And that's today's operators.
Oh, I was on the phone recently with someone, and I got screaming for a person. Because it just went into nonsense land of like push 9, it got all the way down to push 9. It gave me one for each Latin number.
Did you try pushing 0
first? And
then
it goes and push 10, and I was like, no, stop, give me a person. And I was taught if you swear, they'll give you a person. So I just started screaming swear words, and it was like, I'll get you a person. And I was like, thanks. Pain in the ass.
We'll try that now for every single one of
those.
Oh,
systems. So I hate.
If 0 doesn't work, then I guess that's your option. First thing you do, you just hit 0.
I actually never did that. I just yelled at
almost everything. 0 connects you straight to a person. If it doesn't, I guess just swear at it. And,
why don't we
and
just
you'll get there?
No one has ever said to me, I really like that there's not real people when I call. Like, no one wants to deal with a dumb, weird robot man.
Nobody.
Because it's useless.
It is.
No, they don't care because they save so much money that it's worth
well,
it.
Because it's for the dumb questions. It's supposed to be for the dumb questions like, our hours of operation.
Press 1.
Yeah.
We are currently experiencing higher call volume every single day.
Every
it's time. Every single time you call. It's higher It's higher than average call volume.
I've never once
every
called
day.
And not gotten that. And then I get someone right away sometimes. They'll be like, we are experiencing a lot. Your call is important. Average wait time, 2 hours. Ring, ring. Hi, I'm here.
Well, that's very
I
lucky
love that
for
they
you.
Actually at least offer you like, we will automatically call you back when we're available. And then sometimes when you get the call back, you still wait for another
thing.
Yeah,
no, I've gotten the call back and had him be like, hey, so it's still me. It's going to be another hour, so hang on.
You want
to
just call me back again then?
Yeah.
Have you got a phone call from yourself yet? Like your own number appear on your face?
No, but I've heard about that.
I have.
That's the thing. Don't answer.
What? What is the?
I don't know what happens. It happened to me though. It's like myself was calling.
I mean, that's
I got a call that my sketchy. Social Security benefits were going to get canceled, and I was like, "Oh no!" I've been getting those benefits.
Speaking of finding our news digitally, why the fuck are we sending a carrier strike group to Iran right now?
Oh, we're going.
I just
right now.
I was like, it's topical. I'm going to look up what the news is. Oh and my god, why are we trying to start World War III?
I don't even.
I mean, it's been so long since the last one.
Yeah, we're
two. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The nostalgia. They just want the reboot. It's like long enough time.
Reboot World War II. We'll just call it World War III this time.
This is a rabbit hole I don't think I want to go down right now.
I don't either.
World War II.
I know Alex does, but I don't think anyone else does.
I don't.
So. I, as a huge fan of politics, talking about this, do not want to right now get on this. This is its own 5-day.
We were doing fine spoiling Game of Thrones.
You want to spoil Endgame next?
You guys are just going to have to come in another time and we'll
oh God,
we'll talk politics. I hate getting into the political conversation.
I think I'll skip on that.
Absolutely
one.
Hate it.
I enjoy it, but in the same way that people like sports. Like yeah, I see it. Me and him, like whenever people are like, why, you're not like you're changing anything. I'm like, it's not like you're affecting the game when you're like, oh, they should take so-and-so out. I like talking about it in like that case, like being like, oh, well, you know, if they elect so-and-so. It's just like, it's the equivalency of how nerdy people who aren't good at outside talk sports.
Mm-hmm. Just learning.
Yeah, armchair quarterbacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You learn things. You think about things. You expand your mind a little bit.
Exactly.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like politics is definitely armchair quarterback all day long.
Oh, oh yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion, but nobody wants to take any action.
Oh, well, yeah. And that's literally the. I mean, it's not like
I just avoid it usually because.
I'm with you, James.
For some reason, they. You know, you got that armchair quarterback, but. They can't stop telling you how much it matters and how you need to be involved and how you should care too. Right. It's like, no, you go play your fantasy football. I'm going to go do something else. Like,
you
stop
should.
Telling me how I'm shit because I don't care too.
Your five memes that you post on Facebook every day isn't going to change my opinion. I'm sorry.
No.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's
you,
why I've started doing just like
my
debates
statuses.
Instead, which this usually comes down to this kid named Stephen Shepherd who has the wrong opinion on everything. And I usually don't tell people if they have a different opinion of me that they're wrong necessarily because I leave the door open for me being wrong.
They
but
might just be right.
He's wrong. He's wrong.
You know what's weird, though, is that
things.
I have a friend named Stephen Shepherd who is a different person, obviously, because me and him agree
Shepherd,
yeah. on almost everything. And me and you agree, so
yeah.
There's some other Stephen Shepherd ruining this kid's good name.
He really is. Because this kid is like a heavy Bible thumper that we're living in the end times.
See, I don't debate online about anything.
Also, the Antichrist is going to be a
you can't.
Evidently.
You're never going to win.
Also, too, because if you miss
nobody
a
wins
word
when
or
you're
something,
yeah.
then that becomes what the whole thing becomes, that's not the right there, and you're right. Like, all right, well then, fuck
all of a sudden they become the grammar police.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just that now, and you're like, what are we talking about?
Right.
I like to set fires, though, sometimes.
No, you're that guy?
Yeah, no, I'll leave a status up.
And then walk away?
And then I will not check it for weeks on end, and I'll go back, and one time there was 180 comments. I just watched people just yelling at each other, and I just never commented. All
right. The one I had from this morning, I think it's up to about 180. Probably, actually, no, it's probably at 200 by now.
And I can admit, this is a very immature, sad thing, but it's, again, I quit it to fantasy football. It's like the league. It's just what bad people who are bad at outside do.
Well, originally, I started these because I genuinely wanted to know different people's ideas, and I also wanted to bring up ideas that I wasn't
sure
people
had considered. That's not what the internet is for.
No, I found that out quickly, because then in 2016, when all of us collectively lost our minds, we're going to pretend that we didn't, and we're not going to talk about it, and that's fine. But when in 2016, when we all lost our fucking minds.
You're saying nothing's real?
I don't think so anymore.
The two.
I'm with you.
Everything on Facebook from like January 2017 to February 2016, just delete it. Just delete that.
That's
whole
just because
year.
I'm not there anymore.
Just delete that.
After
whole
I left, it all just kind of tanked.
You're smart.
You're smart. In 2009.
I personally think it's the politics and that really ruined Facebook and all the social media.
I don't
and
think
and
that's
like
what
the bots
Facebook
and stuff like
that.
I think people ruined it because they'll ruin anything they get their hands
but
on.
But like, that's not what Facebook is meant for at all either.
Honestly, I think it's the baby boomers really that ruined Facebook, because if you think about it, and I'm going to get into this whole soapbox right now. Everything was fine until our parents got on Facebook and started spitting out all their political views and shit like that. Because before our parents got on Facebook, it was sharing pictures, sharing music. Yeah. You know, I'd even be happy to see everybody's dinner all over again on Facebook instead of hearing about your Trump rhetoric.
Remember when the issue was, I don't care if she's having peach cobbler.
Right.
And now we're like, oh, she's a white supremacist. Damn it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, his mother would post like Onion articles and not know they're from the Onion.
Right. Yeah, I've had to many times explain to my mother, who has used the words fake news in a conversation with me before.
Right.
Had to explain to her that if you see a story that has a headline that seems completely preposterous, maybe Google that
Russia
shit
first. Arming giraffes with death lasers to attack our freedom. And she'll be like, see, it's why I don't go to the zoo.
She wants, and she sometimes doesn't even post them. She sometimes messages me and she's like, did you see? Like, there was a couple years ago, there was an Onion article that was like, Williamsburg reenactor is like mugged by a whole bunch of irresponsible children because they don't believe in the freedoms of America or something crazy like that. And she's like, did you hear about that? And she sent me the article, and immediately I clicked on it because I'm like, this seems crazy. And I'm looking at their other articles. I'm like, Mom, the fuck are you doing? Stop. Stop interneting for the day.
Right. I see my family members using drain the swamp, and I'm like, just delete me, please, or stop following me. Yeah. Or like, I don't want to see your politics
I've
at all. I can carry less.
I've had a few family members that I had to like hide, basically, because like, if I delete them, then I get the, why'd you delete me at like dinner on Sunday? Mm. But I'll hide them and just be like, I don't want anyone to know that I know you because of the things that you say. And, like, my post, I'm just looking for a laugh 90% of the time.
Right. So or a rise out of people.
Yeah, honestly, when people take my statuses, like, really seriously is when I'm usually like, you decided to get real mad here for this. Because I was just being a dick. And it's, like, it's very obvious. Like, no part of it was, like, subtle. I'm, like, saying something silly, and people will lose their minds on me.
Hilarious.
Which, you know, it's fun.
Nice. This is a great conversation today. We got to get you guys come back on. And, you know, one day we'll come on and have you guys come back and talk politics and get into all that sometime.
Next time we can talk movies.
We did.
We opened the conversation. Hey, you guys make a bunch of stuff, but also we care more about Game of Thrones than we do about our own work today.
Let's talk about your work, though, before we do get out of here. Some of your projects that you guys got going on, and like, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can go to our website, it's yellowhousemediacny.com, soon to be yellowhousecny.com because it's a lot easier to remember. Or to Facebook. Just hit us up on Yellow House Media on Facebook. We're the one with that cool big yellow splotch.
Homer recently.
Yeah, Homer Simpson gave a shout out to us on The Simpsons. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He was literally standing where my car is parked, where I go in every day to yell.
Well, he's the mayor of Oriskany now, so.
I know.
Yeah.
What was funny is I looked at, and I know where the mayor's parking spot is because I always park there. And I'm always like, if he has an issue, he can come tell me. Like, I'll have this talk with him. And I was like, well, Homer's car should be right there. That's where I always park.
You're trying to get a selfie with Homer, huh?
Right? I would love
I just
to.
Love the fact that he was looking up at our sign all like, that's a nice sign. Thanks, Premier Signs and Graphics.
Yeah, I feel like we, I don't know, I feel like we deserved a shot. Like a back shot from them.
There
maybe.
You go.
We had to create a thing. I'm sure you saw that little video.
Where, oh, I saw it, yeah.
Where we're like, what was Homer look? Oh, it's us.
He's looking at you.
Should
guys.
Have had us in the window, just like hi.
Should we mention the new big project?
Nah, don't mention it. No. Don't mention it. You don't want to jinx yourself yet.
Yeah, it's not there. Yet.
When it comes, you got an open invitation to come in anytime you want to promote anything you guys got going on.
For the whole two people that still care, the score was finally just finished for 27 matches.
No one does.
I'm glad you brought 27 matches up. So what's up with that? Because you guys have been working on it for so long.
It became a funding issue, so we're right at the end of post-production on sound, and then the money dried up, and then we're like, you know what, I could finish this film or I could eat tomorrow, and that's basically been it for the last 6 or 7 months.
Do we expect it to come out soon?
Yeah, weirdly enough. We're getting some funding, yes?
We have some funding on the way, and we're going to be resuming post-production probably in about June or July.
I am not allowed to re-edit it again, am I?
No. Actually, no, I think there's those two shots.
And there goes all the fun.
Yeah, right. so we have Kristen Turo is going to be doing the final sound mixdown. We've got a guy doing Foley. James here is our ADR sound recordist. He's going to be finishing up the last person that has to do ADR.
I wonder who that is.
I wonder as well. And probably a douchebag.
And then we
probably.
Have some CG stuff to throw in. Do we make?
Yeah, we have 3 CG shots left to finish, which...
What? Wait, 3? Mm-hmm. We'll have to redo all the matches.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about the intro.
Oh, and the blood I got to redo.
Yeah, so
lots of blood.
There is one shot that we had to do some fake CG blood for.
It's been a while since you've been here. Talk about real quick before we do get out of here what 27 matches is all about.
27 matches is a day in the life of a sex trafficker. There's a Russian. Italian syndicate of sex traffickers, which is actually weirdly accurate to real life. Here in Central New York, that they have a warehouse where they're transporting their victims to, and it essentially just shows a day in the life of their operations, and then things don't go so well at the end.
That sounds like the Netflix preview.
Because otherwise it would be boring.
Yeah, because otherwise it would be boring.
It's just a mundane day of office paperwork and right? Sex trafficking.
Like, well, how many checks did we turn over today? 5? All right, another movie.
I need those processed by 8. And finish your D14s. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to lie, there's a bit of that in the movie.
Yeah, I took it out.
So there's no release date, though?
We don't have a firm release date at the moment.
No, not yet.
All right, well, keep us posted when you do.
Of course.
Hey, definitely interested in seeing
it.
4
more years, and it'll be...
4 more years? You have been working on it for a while.
We'll actually finish the next film before we finish the first one.
When was the start date on that?
We started cameras rolling June 2015.
Okay, wow. So it's been 4 years.
It's been almost done for at least a year.
I was still in
Or was it
college.
2016?
No, it was 15.
Hold on, I have to count it back to my girlfriends. That's how I do math in time. All right, so
who was I with then?
Yeah, no, literally. Mm-hmm. So it was Ashlyn, Sam.
Yeah, say their names out loud.
You know, because she was in the movie, wasn't she?
2017. So then Allison.
He's literally going to. Okay.
All right, no, 2015. Uh-huh.
Yeah. 2015.
There you go. Yep.
Cool.
What year did it happen in? I think Jessica.
That's quite a production.
Might have been Amber. I don't know what year it was exactly. One of those two. All
right. Why do you know about Jessica and Amber?
Well, there's like.
I mean, I think he could have picked any name.
Yeah, he could have literally.
He just picked 2 generic names, and it's gonna. Yeah. It's gonna work out.
There's like 3 Amandas in there somewhere too.
Everyone has 3 Amandas.
Hilarious. Yeah, well, that's really keep us posted when the 27 matches come out and all the great things you guys are doing at Yellow House, man. You got a lot of stuff happening.
Hells yeah, man. This year you're going to see a lot of awesome visual shit from us.
Cool. Keep us posted. How about Vile Tyrant? Cryptid Channel's got a show coming up this weekend, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, we do.
Talk about that real quick.
I don't know what's going on. I show up and play. You gotta realize I show up and play.
He is playing on a stage.
I've had shows happen where I didn't even know it was happening until a couple of days before.
And they're like, oh, James, you gotta play.
It's like, you remember we're doing that?
Okay. I've actually had him have to cancel on plans we had because I was like, hey, we still do this tomorrow. And he's like, I have a show. And I was like, why don't you tell me? He's like, well, I just found out. So
I think it's with a
Pantera cover band.
Is it with Vulgar Display?
Yeah.
Vulgar
yeah.
Display, and that's this Saturday, correct? Yes. This Saturday at 12 North. What time? Check that out.
I think it's like 8 or 9.
Support your local music.
I'm not even asking for the thing. I just want to know. So
are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll go.
You go?
Yeah.
Vulgar Display's killing it, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a big Pantera fan, you're going to like those guys.
Yeah, it should be a good show.
I try to go to as much stuff of James's as I can. I just have to find out about it.
Support your local music. That's what we stress around here. Saturday.
Shit, I'll be filming a show at Lost Horizon.
Wow.
Who's at the loss this weekend?
Wow, James.
Don't tell my client, but I have no fucking clue.
Okay. Hopefully they're not.
I just know that I'm showing up with a shoulder mount.
And now you don't have a show you're filming. You Lost Horizon on Saturday.
This isn't the place for secret. Don't tell anyone.
I was at the Lost Horizon this past weekend, and I'm surprised that place is still standing. Seriously.
Every time I'm in there, have a bad experience with someone who works there.
Oh, yeah?
For some reason, they do not like me there, and I don't know why. I walked in.
There's always something.
Remember the day I was there for you? And I, walked in, and I was like, oh, I'm with Val Tyrant. I'm like, I'm helping them do stuff. And they were like, Are you? Stand right there. And I was like, okay.
And, like, I had to come back and get you. And
the guy, like, disappeared for an hour.
I think I'd already told them or something, too.
Yeah, they were like, you want a list? And whatever. James was like, there isn't a list. What are you talking about? And they had to just, like, take me. I've always had weird experiences with the security there. They just don't like me.
Yeah, they hear it every day. They hear the most crazy shit.
I think that's part of it is that, like, they're like, oh, I'm sure, you're just that guy.
They don't care.
No.
They don't care about you if you're coming in. They're just there to work and do their job, you know? So everybody comes to the door with their stories. I've been in their shoes before. It's like, I don't care. I don't care who you're with, whatever. Either you're going to pay me or get the hell out.
That's fine. You know, it works out because I think I mentioned something to them about it, but you can't remember everything that's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I came back. I got you. It was fine.
You know what it is, though? I'm just so used to getting special treatment everywhere I go.
Oh, yeah?
I just naturally tend to.
Because you're so special?
He's adorable.
It's because I'm adorable. And, like, I've even been at the bank and have whispered, like, oh, I'm in a rush. And, like, three people were like, you can go ahead of us. And I was like, oh. Thank you. Like, that's just how things usually go. So any stumbling in front of me and me just doing something, I'm always like, what's happening here? Which is a terrible quality to have. But
hilarious. You're shot, man.
Yeah, that's what things just work out well.
Because it works on everyone but bouncers.
It does.
So
I one time at Mayhem Fest cut, like thousands and thousands of people in a line, and they all cheered for me while I did it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just my Tuesday.
Well... You never know, brother. You never know. There might be that one guy that you come across and knocks you the hell out for cutting.
Oh, no. What happened is that two friends of mine started chanting my name, and then the whole line started chanting my name, too, to, like, be funny. And I got up to where my friends were near the front, and I was like, I'm Chris. And everyone was like, yeah. And I got in line, and they were like, yeah. Like, I don't pull shit. Like, I'm not, like, shifty.
Things you're not shady?
Yeah, I'm not like, I'm going to sneak in. Things just, like, open up, and then people are like, yeah, you go do this thing. And I'm like, all right.
It just moses a whole Mayhem Fest.
I had a bar once, was like, how come there's no good gin mixed drinks? And the bartender was like, you're right, let's try some. And just got me a bunch of free drinks that night. It's just weird.
That's how it happens.
I just...
You got that face, kid.
That's what it is. I just say nice things, and people are like, I'll give you stuff.
Right on, fellas. Thanks for coming in. Yellow House Media, check them out online. Google them. You'll see them pop up if you're interested in getting a video made for your band or
photo.
You pretty much do anything,
website,
right?
We do it all.
You do it all, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Literally, if you want free, if you want writing done, if you want...
Did you say free?
Fray. If you want fraying done, we can fray some blankets.
Yeah.
We do everything.
$100 a blanket.
It's, yeah.
Just so you know.
It takes a lot to fry, man. You got to take the sandpaper and just really get those strands.
You're a movie critic as well, right? You do some of that.
You want to just sit there and listen to us criticize the movies? Well, you could pay us for that.
Love it. Cool. Check Yellow House Media out. And like I said, man, when you guys got some stuff coming on, please keep us in the loop.
Yeah, definitely.
Love to help promote. That's for damn sure. Before we do get out of here, love and respect out to Nye Volkswagen in Rome. Mention the D if you're in the market for a brand new Volkswagen, and they're going to give you $250 off any vehicle purchase. Pretty cool. Promo code Uncle Z. No, it's not really the promo code. But if you go in there and mention the D, they'll hook you up. NiveVDubOfRome.com. Check them out online. Also, EJA Moving Company, the professional movers. Call them when it's time to move and relocate at 315-335-0516. Have Eddie break his back instead of you breaking your back. You can hit him up online, EJAMoving.com. Also, we're looking for some volunteers to help us out with our annual quality of life sweeps. It's happening May 22nd. It's a Wednesday. We meet up at 11 a.m. in front of Utica City Hall. We hop on a bus and we clean up some of the streets of Utica. We do it. This will be our third year, so come on out. Help us with it. Want to give big ups to our friends over at the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley. They're donating all the T-shirts to us, so we're going to have a bunch of T-shirts. We're going to look like a nice team out there cleaning up the streets of Utica. It's going down May 22nd, 11 a.m., Utica City Hall. We will have some water and tools and gloves provided, so if you're worried about getting dirty, wear some old clothes, and we do have stuff to protect your hands and everything like that. So, but it is a good time, and we get together, and you know, everybody complains that this place is a dump and all this, but nobody's doing anything about it. So we are giving you that opportunity to do something about it. This is the city that we live in, and we're looking to make it pretty. We're like bringing Utica great again, right? Is that the theme? Making Utica great again. I'm so sick of that term, but anyways. Well, yeah, we're doing it on May 22nd. Come on out, hang out with us on to help the mayor clean up. And tomorrow, I don't know what I got going on tomorrow. I got some stuff going on tomorrow. But on Wednesday, we're receiving a small business award that's happening here, right here in the studio from the Chamber of Commerce. So our friends from the Chamber of Commerce are going to come in and present us the small business award. I'm looking forward to that. I can't believe we're actually getting an award for something around here. You know, not bad for a bunch of degenerates that like to swear on the air all the time, right? As the one local newspaper quoted us as saying one time, that we're a bunch of degenerates that like to swear. But anyways,
they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. You're right. They're not wrong. But yeah, small business award, that's going to be happening on Wednesday, so make sure you tune in for that. I want to remind everybody they can listen to this podcast and previous podcasts on our website at disruptionnetwork.net. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. We're on Stitcher and Spotify. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much all the social medias. You'll find the D. Get off the phones, Damon, saying to you guys. I know these guys are just wrapped up on their phones right now. But yes, check us out online. Search Disruption Network. Search Yellow House Media. Search File Tyrant, Encrypted Shadow. You guys got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of cool things happening in the area. I don't want to hear there's nothing to do in this town. I don't want to hear that.
Shame.
It's so not true. There's so much going on in this town. It's just you're not looking for it. That's it. You're not.
I will try harder.
All right, try harder. Come hang out with me. I'll show you a good
right,
time,
there
pal.
You go.
I'll show you a
he
good
will,
time.
You will, too. Bring you some shows, get you drunk under the table.
Yeah, time. Make you lose some brain cells. I'm good at all that shit. I am. See ya. What the hell happened to this thing? Nothing. What the hell is going on? Nothing's triggered.
You know what the hell there you're listening to?
It's EC Radio.
The Baseline is back with all new episodes every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Disruption Network. The complete rundown of news and notes around Major League Baseball. Get caught up with fantasy rankings, predictions, league leaders, standings, and more. Join JP and SPG as they bring you original segments like 3 Up, 3 Down, The Haps on the Haps, Tip of the Cap, and The Field Report.
Don't find yourself out of the Baseline.
Join the Baseline every Sunday night, all season long, only on the D.
Hey, it's Cassidy, and you're listening to Disruption Network.
So you just bought your dream home, and now it's time to move. Let's face it, nobody likes to move. All the packing, unpacking, lifting, upstairs, downstairs, and broken everything, including your back. Let the professionals at EJA Moving Company take all the stress and pain out of your move. Competitively priced moving. Relocation services, office moves, and complete packing and unpacking services. They work with everybody to make it simple and easy for you to move and relocate. Call EJA Moving Company at 315-335-0516. When it's time to relocate, have EJA Moving do all the work for you. Hit them up online, ejamoving.com.
Hey, Disruption Network. This is Mike Sacco, the general manager at Nye Volkswagen of Rome. If you don't know me by name, it's only because you have not received the best deal. There's only one reason to leave Utica, and that's to come see me in Rome and get the best deal on your next new, pre-owned, or certified VW. Mention that you heard this ad from Disruption Network and receive $250 off your next vehicle purchase. You'll know why our customers say, I love my Nye VW. Come see us at 5865 Rome Taberg Road in Rome, or visit us online at nivwofrome.com.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish, and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
The Disruption Network is making moves. For upcoming events, news, interviews, and new daily programming, keep in the loop with us at disruptionnetwork.net. Like, follow, and subscribe to all our social media. And check out all our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Get up on the D, disruptionnetwork.net.